Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
In this week's podcast episode, we are talking all about the best Australian TV series to learn English with. Your new fluency coach, Ollie, guides us through a whole range of different Australian TV series that you can start watching now. And as always, if you head on over to our Instagram at reallife.english, you'll find some bonus series there. So be sure to check it out as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
sophisticated
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're in line at the shop, taming a wallaby, or even
redecorating your house.
Yeah, I'm joined here in the Cross Atlantic studio, in the virtual Barcelona studio, as always, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm great, thank you for asking.
Fantastic. And by our newest recruit, Ollie.
It's good to be back here. How are you?
Doing great. Going to have to come up with like a nickname for you or something. To have to have a little bit more fun introduction there, but you know, it will all come in due time, right?
For sure, absolutely.
What does that mean, in due time?
In due time, it means it will come the more we get to know each other.
Yeah, basically, the more as time passes, right?
Exactly.
And have you ever tamed a wallaby? Do you have a pet wallaby where you come from?
I don't, but we actually have like kangaroo and wallaby parks that you can go and feed the animals. But you have to remember they are wild, so they are dangerous.
Right. What exactly is a wallaby?
So a wallaby is, it's not a kangaroo. It's a different type of kangaroo type creature. Kangaroos are really big, so they're as big as us humans, whereas wallabies are about half the size.
That's so fantastic. I think one of the cool things about going to Australia is it must feel, for someone who's not from Australia, obviously, it must feel like going to another planet in some sense, that like all of the animals are super different than any other part of the world.
Absolutely, yeah. And we actually have reptile parks where you can go and basically see all of the native animals in one place. It's quite an experience.
It sounds scary if you're not a snake and like lizard lover.
Or crocodile.
A crocodile. Wow. Exactly. Crikey.
Crikey, mate.
So this is perfect. We're talking about Australian animals and Australian wildlife parks and different things that you can do in Australia. Because today, if you go to Australia or even from the comfort of your own home, if you're learning Australian English, we're going to be talking all about some different Australian TV series that you can watch to get your cultural immersion. I'm really excited about this because I think never in my life, I don't think I've seen any Australian series. I've seen lots of American ones, lots of British ones, but I have yet to be cultured in Australian, like Hollywood or whatever you would call Australian Hollywood is.
Yeah, it's a growing industry. It's definitely not as good as Hollywood or the British TV series, but we're growing. We're getting better.
There are definitely some good ones. I've seen a few, so I'm sure there'll be at least one on this list, Ethan, that will tempt you, that you can start watching.
I'm really keen on it, so I'm excited to jump into today's main list. I think even some of the actors from these series people might have heard of, even though they might not know that they're Australian, right? So maybe we can even mention some of them. But before we get into any name dropping, I think we better give a shout out to a special listener out there.
So today's shout out comes from Mariam from Poland, and it's a 5-star review, of course. And she says, "Hello, it's Mariam from Poland. Since I discovered this podcast, it changed my life. I learned a lot. And of course, I try to make sure I listen to one or two episodes before I go to sleep."
This poor, I imagine it's a woman, this poor woman in Poland that is dreaming with us in her head.
Do you know what, though? It's great that she does it before she goes to sleep, because that's a really good way to kind of start thinking more in English as well. If you do something in English before you go to sleep, then you might end up dreaming in English. And then when you wake up, you might, you know, already have it in mind as well still, it's a really good thing to practice.
I couldn't agree more. I think that like some different studies have even shown that when you do something, you learn something before bed, it's kind of like your brain puts the pieces together while you're sleeping. And so kind of like when you wake up, maybe if you were trying to work out some problem in English or trying to understand, you know, a piece of pronunciation or vocabulary or something like that, the next day it might suddenly be easier for you or it might make sense to you.
That makes sense.
So thanks so much to our fan from Poland, Mariam. And if you want us to shout you out, all you have to do is head over to Apple Podcasts, just like she did, or you can head over to the show notes of this episode over at reallifeglobal.com and just click on podcasts and leave us a nice comment there. And the really great thing about doing this is that you're helping other people from around the world to have a lot of fun learning English with us. So that said, we are going to jump into a newish section that we're trying out. So let us know what you thought. But we're going to look at some Australian idioms that might help you to understand some of these series.
Yeah, so the first one that I've got for you is if you are carrying on like a pork chop. Have you heard this one before?
I haven't either. It sounds like something Churchill might say.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about that one. But if you're carrying on like a pork chop, you're maybe acting silly or a little bit crazy. We often say it to children. If children are like high on energy, I'll stop carrying on like a pork chop. Yeah, for someone who's a little silly or crazy.
Oh, wow.
So it's like we might say similarly like bananas, like a kid is acting bananas, right?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, for sure.
Or nuts.
Nuts, exactly. Yeah, that too. The second one that I've got for you is to chuck a sickie. Have you heard of this one before?
No.
Yeah, we use that a bit in the UK. Maybe not as much chuck a sickie. We might say throw a sickie or something like that, I think.
Oh, there you go. So to chuck a sickie is when you're feeling fine, but you just don't feel like going to work. So if you chuck a sickie, you call up your boss and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not feeling very well. I'm going to stay at home.
So is it like you're really sick and you're calling in because you're actually sick, or it's you're calling in like pretending to be sick?
You're calling in pretending to be sick in the Australian context.
So similarly, have you heard the term to play hooky? Is that like a expression you all would use?
No.
You neither, Andrea.
Nope.
So play hooky, it's similar when if you were to, for example, call in sick to work or call in sick to school, play hooky is like that you're basically not going into where you're supposed to be. So people, high schoolers might do this a lot. Well, maybe depending on the high schooler and how behaved they are or not, they might decide they're just going to play hooky and hang out with their friends outside of school or something. Or I might do it if there was like, when I was in high school, if there was a day where it snowed a lot and you didn't want to miss out on really good skiing, might play hooky and go up to the ski area.
Interesting.
I think we have a similar one. Well, not in the way that you describe it, but the thing that it means. And ours would be like to skive.
To skive. I haven't heard that one.
So yeah, you might skive off work or you might skive off class or something like that. Yeah, that sounds similar to what you described hooky means.
So it's a phrasal verb even.
Yeah, skive off.
That's so interesting. All right. Well, as we said, maybe you will be fortunate enough while you're watching one of these series to catch one of those expressions. And obviously, if you're following this podcast too, now that you have all three of us, you have a teacher from the US, from the UK, and from Australia, you'll be learning a lot of really great expressions from all three countries. So you're going to be prepared no matter where you go in the world. So that said, let's jump into this fine list of Australian series that Ollie has prepared for us today.
Yeah, so I want to start with some movies because they're quite classic, right? And the first one is the same name as the country, Australia. Have you guys seen it?
I have seen that one.
I haven't seen it. I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so this one is with Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman, and I'm sure our listeners have definitely heard of those two famous actors. They're now big in Hollywood, and it's based in the late 1930s, early 1940s, in the second... during the Second World War, and Nicole Kidman is from England. Her character, she's from England, and she tries to come and save her husband, who is Hugh Jackman, from his cattle farm in the north of Australia. And I think this film is really good because it's not only you'll not only hear Australian accents, but you'll also get to understand a little bit of the culture because it shows our Indigenous culture. It shows that the lifestyle in the north. And it also shows Australia, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago. So a little bit of history there as well.
I always love movies like that where you get to actually like live the history, you know, through it.
Yeah, you've definitely sold it to me. That sounds really interesting. So I want to watch it now.
I mean, I think the movie was created to like encourage people to come and visit Australia, like for tourism and things like that. It's not the best movie, but it's like, it's classic, right? It's got two of the most famous Australian actors ever. and it's full of culture and history, which is cool.
And if I recall correctly too, I think it's a good one to pick up some different words that people use in Australia, like to go walk about, for example. I learned that watching that movie.
Yeah, to go walk about is an Indigenous term, and I'm not that in touch with Indigenous culture because we aren't really taught it in school, but to go walk about basically means to go and find yourself, and normally young boys, young teenagers, they will go walk about, Indigenous people, to discover themselves, which is quite cool.
Awesome.
The next one I want to go on to is called The Castle. And when I was reading about this, they said that this was the best film ever made by an Australian in the history of Australia. It was made in 11 days.
Wow.
It's about a working class family in Australia, and they live next door to the airport. And it shows the struggles of trying to raise a family in the 1990s. And this one is more for your, for advanced learners who maybe have lived in Australia or they know a little bit of Australian slang, because it's full of different Australian terms that maybe if you've learned a British English or American English, you might not have heard before. And the accents are really strong too.
This might be tough even for Andrew and I.
Yeah, exactly. So they're the two movies that I would recommend. And if you're into horror, there's a Wolf Creek. That's a bit scary. And then if you're interested in Indigenous culture and learning more about Australia in the 1930s, there's a movie called Rabbit Proof Fence. And that's about the stolen generation, where the Australian government took Indigenous young children out of their homes and put them into white families to basically assimilate and kind of forge an Australian identity that wasn't connected with its Indigenous history. So it's a really interesting, really sad movie about Australia's history.
Yeah, that was one of the themes too from the movie Australia that you were talking about with Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman, I remember as well. And that was something I didn't even realize was something that happened in Australian history. And I remember learning about that from there. And I think something fairly recent that happened was the Prime Minister actually kind of like did a formal apology, right, to the Indigenous people for that.
Yeah, the former Prime Minister in 2007, Kevin Rudd, said sorry to the Indigenous people for the stolen generation, because these kids were taken away from their families, and it wasn't the dark skinned, it was more like the lighter skinned, so that they weren't as different. And these Indigenous kids grew up in white families, not knowing that they were Indigenous and not knowing about their culture or history. So it's an incredibly dark, sad time of our history. And we actually study this movie at school. It's kind of like our history lesson, and it's really powerful. So I really recommend people look into that.
And what's the name of that one again?
It's called Rabbit Proof Fence.
Great. So that's a few movies that if people are keen on movies that they can check out to get some Australian culture. And then I believe that you have some series as well for us, right?
Yeah, I've got a couple of series. I think we should start with, I've categorized them a little bit. So let's start with comedy. Kath and Kim, which is available on Netflix.
Yeah, I actually had an American friend recently who was telling me about this. So I think it's kind of spreading.
Yeah.
I've, of course, seen these characters and I've heard of the show, but I haven't actually watched it. So I'm quite curious. I imagine it's really funny.
Yeah. So it follows Kath and Kim, who live in the suburbs. So not quite in the city center, just outside of the city center. And they are from the middle class. And we would basically call them bogans. Have you heard the term bogans before?
I have.
Yeah.
I think we have different names in each accent, right? For those kind of people. Like in the US, we probably would call them like rednecks.
We'd probably say chavs, I imagine. Chavs. I think, yeah, I don't know. Some of my Australian friends have told me before, like, oh, bogans are kind of the equivalent of your chavs, basically.
Yeah. I mean, we refer to bogans who, like, live in the country, have a really thick accent, are a little bit unsophisticated, their clothing and things like that. So yeah, if you watch this series, Kath and Kim, they are the definition of a bogan. For example, they have a few catchphrases, and one is "look at me" in normal English, but in the series they say "look at me, look at me, look at me, Kimmy, look at me." So that's like that's like a classic way, and that's just Australians just extending the E, "look at me," which was quite good. So this series is for, again, advanced learners who maybe have been exposed to Australian culture, because it is full of slang, it's full of abbreviations. I'm sure you guys use MYOB.
I don't know that one.
It means mind your own business.
Oh, okay.
So if someone is like trying to like find out something about you and you don't want to tell them, you can turn around to them and say, "hey, listen here, Ethan, MYOB," which is like, "go away, stop asking me questions."
That's a nice way to abbreviate it.
Yeah, I remember when I was at school, a teacher said that to me. I think I was like 8 or 9. And she said, "Ollie, MYOB." And it was the first the first time I heard it. And I almost like broke down in tears.
Oh my gosh.
Poor thing.
Yeah.
We have something similar we might say to kids, like, or when we were kids, we'd say this, like, "mind your own beeswax" instead of "mind your own business."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think this series is good because it introduces you to Australian slang, Australian humor, and a little bit about the culture, which is also quite cool.
Sounds like a great one. I definitely want to watch that one because I've heard it's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. And I read that actually the accent that they use in the TV series is kind of more of the older generation, because with the rise of globalization and young people being exposed to various accents, the accent that they use is not dead, but it's kind of like an older Australian English, which I found really interesting.
Awesome. So what's the next one?
So the next one is also a comedy, and it's called Please Like Me. It's written and it stars Josh Thomas, a comedian in Australia. Have you heard of this one?
I have not, unfortunately.
I haven't seen this one.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, this is quite interesting. It's a little bit different from Kath and Kim, but it follows Josh, who is, I think he's 18 in the TV series, and it follows his struggles with navigating life. His parents are separated. Well, his girlfriend has just dumped him because she thinks he's gay, and he's actually a gay character. So it's kind of his journey, navigating his last year at school, navigating a dysfunctional family, and his journey to self-discovery. So it's kind of, it touches on really topical themes that like people go through, but it also tries to add a little bit of humor to the message. And I think it's quite good.
We might call this like a coming of age story.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
Do you use that same kind of like term for the genre?
Yeah, I guess we would.
It's basically like any sort of like series or movie or book that follows like someone, like an adolescent, I guess, like someone who's coming of age, like they're passing from being a child to being an adult. And like you said, that kind of journey that all of us go through at that age to kind of discover who we are and ultimately accept who we are and come to terms with that. And I usually find those stories really interesting as well, because I think it's a struggle that we all go through at that age, and that's unique to each one of us.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a good point, because his mother is really sick in the TV series, and his father, they're separated, obviously. So he kind of assumes the responsibility as the carer for his mother. So yeah, it's definitely coming of age. He has to grow up quite quickly.
Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod, that's P-O-D, to sign up. Now, let's get back to today's podcast lesson.
The next one I want to go on to is, if you're interested in political dramas, maybe you like, one of my favorites is Homeland. I think that's awesome. Have you guys seen Homeland?
I haven't, but I've heard good things.
Oh, yeah. I really like Homeland. It's amazing. Ethan, you have to watch it. It's, oh, I'm so jealous that you haven't seen it.
I better add it to my list.
Yeah, you have a really long list now, don't you? But
I do.
Homeland's great. So do you have something similar then that's Australian?
Yeah, exactly right. So the Homeland follows the CIA, which is the American Secret Service, whereas this follows the main star is a journalist, and she's trying to figure out corruption within the Australian government and the connections with China. So it's a political drama, and it's based on a couple of books, The Marmalade Files, The Mandarin Code, and The Shadow Game. And yeah, and it follows a Canberra Press Gallery journalist, Harriet Dunkley, as she tries to find out the truth of corruption. And it's quite scary because you have like the Chinese spy agencies in Australia, but you also have the Australian spy agencies watching her, and her life becomes threatened by her trying to uncover the truth. And it's really good because it shows that some journalists these days, their lives are threatened for trying to uncover the truth. It's about the dynamic between politics and the media.
That does sound really interesting. You had another one on this list as well that's a similar genre, right?
Yeah, exactly. And this one's called Pine Gap. And I chose this one because it's, for people who don't know, Pine Gap is a secret spy agency in the middle of Australia. And it's a US and Australian spy base. And this one's good because you'll notice the difference between the American and the Australian accent. And it's really, I don't know what it is about Australian actors, but they always sound like they have like the strongest accent. So you compare it to the US accent, the Australian accent in Pine Gap, which is on Netflix, is really strong. And it's interesting because it shows the power balance and the dynamic between the US and Australian relations. And even though the base is in Australia, the US is still the boss.
And are the actors in this, are the American ones, are they actually like American actors, or are the Australians playing Americans?
They're Americans. Yeah, as far as I'm aware, they're Americans.
That's quite impressive, right? That they have like a international cast like that.
Yeah, it's quite cool. It's also about... because they're on Indigenous land as well. So there's Indigenous land rights that come into it as well. And I think, you know, if you're going to learn about Australia, it's good to learn about the Indigenous culture as well.
It sounds like it's a really great one then, not just for really practicing your listening skills because you're learning to different accents, but also for culture as well. So there's quite a lot you can probably get from watching this one.
Absolutely.
So what's the next one you have on our list?
Well, I feel like Andrew is better suited to talk about these ones rather than me, because I have not seen an episode.
Yeah, so I'm so glad you added them on your list, because for us Brits, they are classics. Like, we grew up watching Neighbours and Home and Away. So these are more kind of like soap operas. So they are shows that go on for years and years and years and just continue. And you get an episode every day, usually like Monday to Friday. And they're about 25 minutes. And for us growing up, maybe it was a sense of escapism, because we would see like the Australian beaches and just the landscape there. And we got to learn a lot about Australian life through and culture through watching these series. And they were on every day after school without fail. Everyone was watching these shows. And there's also a lot of really famous Australian actors that were in them that then went on to, they moved to America and they're now like Hollywood stars as well, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that before you mentioned that. I think Chris Hemsworth, Margot Robbie, Kylie Minogue.
Yeah.
I think even Nicole Kidman maybe, or maybe I'm...
Oh, wow. I'm not sure, but for sure, I remember Kylie Minogue, that's how she became famous, her and Jason Donovan, and it kind of launched their careers.
Jason Donovan.
Yeah.
I think Kylie Minogue and Jason Donovan are more famous in the UK than they are back home.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah, because I don't know about Jason Donovan. I think he does live in the UK now too, but I know Kylie Minogue has lived in the UK for years.
That's super interesting. When I was in Brazil, actually, I don't know if this has happened to you yet, Ollie, but all of my students would tell me I should watch soap operas because they're really big in Brazil. And I never watched them because I had trouble finding the time to watch an episode every day or anything to follow them. But I think that they are a really great resource to learn a language because they are so addictive that, like, you know, they're trying to get people to tune in every single day. And also, like, if they're just 25 minutes for each episode, it's really not so bad. So it's like almost, it could be a really great thing just to work into your daily routine, is if like every day you watch one episode and you'd be really strung along by kind of the story of the series or soap opera.
Absolutely. It's easy viewing. It's like trashy TV, isn't it? Trashy.
What do you mean by that? Like junk food, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like it's basic and not very good, but it's addictive.
It's like even when the storyline isn't that interesting or it's not going the way you wanted, you still have to watch it to see what comes next. And like, because I think these started in the 80s, and maybe it's a cultural thing as well. In the UK, we watch soap operas. We have loads as well that are from the UK, like EastEnders, Coronation Street, and Emmerdale. And they've been going on for decades, and everyone watches them religiously. It's it's like a religion in a way.
Yeah. It seems like it could be really fun too to see, you know, like Chris Hemsworth and Margot Robbie, like before they hit it really big. Like, what were they like as young, budding Australian actors?
Yeah.
I honestly don't know how the writers of these soap operas can continue to think of like new ideas and the shows don't get repetitive, because Home and Away and Neighbours have been going on, as you said, Andrew, since the 80s, like forever. It's quite crazy.
They probably do just like recycle in, you know, the yeah. same stories or something.
Bring in more beautiful actors with the beach blonde hair and the, you know.
With different actors, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. The next one that I wanted to go on to is more of a reality TV show. And I wonder if anybody has ever heard of Steve Irwin.
Of course.
I have definitely heard of him. Yeah.
The Crocodile Hunter. Anyway, for those who don't know, Steve Irwin was the Crocodile Hunter. He used to look after reptiles, and he tragically died in 2007 from a stingray spike. And it was devastating for everybody because him and his wife, Terry, and their two young children, Bindi and Bob, I think the kids were, you know, five, like really, really young. They hadn't even started school when Steve passed away. And he was famous and happy and like the typical Australian guy from the bush. We saw the bush last lesson. It's like the place outside of the city. So this show called The Irwins is kind of like continuing his legacy of looking after animals and animals in need, rescuing and keeping them safe and giving them healthcare, and then letting them go back into the wild. For example, I watched one episode where his son Bob rescued a platypus. This is an Australian animal that lives in rivers, and it was not very well. So he rescued the platypus. Took care of it for a couple of weeks and then released it back into the wild. So it's a really good, heartwarming series, and it shows a famous family from Australia who have made it big in the US as well. I think they're famous there, right, Ethan?
Yeah. Yeah, when I was a kid, I grew up with the Crocodile Dundee movies.
Yeah, classic.
And I think that we mentioned at the start, like, crikey, that's like a expression that all Americans will have heard of. And I think the Crocodile Dundee really is like our stereotype of like what all Australians are like is the Crocodile Dundee.
Crocodile Hunter.
Hunter? I'm pretty sure in the US we call them the Dundee.
Oh, really? Because Crocodile Dundee is a film.
Ah, okay, that's a film. He's the Crocodile Hunter. Okay. Maybe that's why I associated that name with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We imagine you're all down there wrangling.
Yeah. If you were to guess what crikey meant, in what context would you use it?
It's like when you're really surprised or something, right? I think it's like when he like saw like a crocodile like trying to attack him or something. He'd be like, crikey. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was an easy question, wasn't it?
But it's a fun one to use. People in Australia don't actually use it though, do they?
No, we don't. It's kind of one of those things that Australians are known for, but it's you don't use it.
Could be good to get a laugh though.
Yeah, if you used it, people look at you and say, are you okay? Do you have a problem? But it's kind of like Steve Irwin's saying, right? Crikey, mate.
Exactly.
Yeah, so if you love animals and you want to know about Australian animals, animals that you don't have in other parts of the world, this is a great series for you to watch. And the last one that I want to go on to is a little bit controversial, and I wasn't sure if I was going to put it in, but it's called Summer Heights High, and it follows the Australian comedian Chris Lilley at a school, and he plays various roles. He plays a teacher, an uneducated Maori from New Zealand. A Maori is a traditional, an indigenous person from New Zealand. A girl who is not the smartest. It showcases all the stereotypes at school, because school is quite a hard time. You have the bullies, you have the people who aren't as popular as other people, and then you've got your little groups of girls and your groups of boys. So it really showcases what school is like. But again, I think this series is slightly racist. It's slightly sexist. So if you kind of like humor that follows that line, this show is for you. But if you feel a little bit like it might offend you, I would not recommend you seeing this.
Definitely. So one with people with like a little bit darker humor, darker sense of humor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you have darker sense of humor, this one's for you. But if maybe, it's a little bit hard to stomach, I think I would recommend watching another one of the series.
Hard to stomach, that's a great expression. What does that mean?
Hard to stomach is when you're watching something or you're eating something and it's hard to keep it down.
Yeah.
Or hard to consume it.
I might use this for example, like, I don't know, Game of Thrones, for example, has like some very like graphically violent scenes in a lot of series nowadays. I think this is getting more and more acceptable, and sometimes for me, it's too much. Sometimes I have to look away because I can't stomach it. I like can't handle like watching like really gory, disgusting violence or anything like that. So usually when I can't stomach it, I'll like look away until the scene is over.
Yeah, exactly right. It's not for everyone, but definitely worth checking out. Watch the trailer on YouTube or somewhere like that. And then you can make an informed decision once you do that.
Exactly. And you said it's one guy playing all the characters?
Yeah, so he's Chris Lilley. I think he's very funny. So I like his humor, but sometimes I cringe. It's kind of when you go, ooh, did he really just say that? Because we kind of live in a politically correct world where you can't really say things these days.
Totally.
He kind of tests the boundaries. He kind of tells jokes and says jokes in the series that you definitely won't hear your average person say, which is why I think it's popular, because it's like, wow, he is really going for it. And he's saying things that are not acceptable in modern day Australia. But for some reason, it's really popular. It's really...
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you've given us 7 really awesome sounding series. There's definitely a couple that I've added to my list that I want to check out. I want to watch and brush up a little bit on my Australian culture and sense of humor and stuff like this. So I'm definitely looking forward to checking that out. And I think like for any English learner, if you're learning, whether you're learning Australian English specifically, or even if you're not and you're just wanting to kind of discover a different English speaking culture, I think it can be really helpful, you know, to be able to understand people from various countries, especially if you're, you know, if you're working in business or you like traveling and things like this. So I think it could be really valuable for anyone listening to go and choose one of those and check it out.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, bring on the Australian accent.
And you'll be learning a lot more of that with us here on the podcast. And we look forward to seeing you next week. And if you want another movie to add to your list of Australian movies to catch up on, then Ollie is going to do another one exclusively over on our Instagram. So you're going to have to head over there to learn about that. And that is, of course, at reallife.english over on Instagram. So we look forward to seeing you over there. And we look forward to seeing you next week here on the Real Life English Podcast. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.